Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for, as always, we know your word brings light and it brings understanding. Let that light shine our hearts this morning. Give us understanding on what the Spirit is saying to the churches and to the body of Christ as a whole. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to give a short exhortation today on a short lesson on the acts of the Father through the sons. Well, we've seen the book of Acts, which was, they called it the Acts of the Apostles. What we are witnessing now will be the Acts of the Father through the sons. And I want to call out a few things that are important as we begin to understand what God has been telling us these last couple of days. 2 days ago, you know, we talked about the new normal, walking in favor and power. This is where we need to be now, you know, and it should no longer be counted not strange when you begin to see incredible miracles, which before we thought were incredible, but which will now become normal. You know, as we get closer and we're pressing, we're going to begin to understand that we can flow in these things and they don't need to be far-fetched. We can do it. But this is what Jesus was been teaching us. Praise the Lord. So we are going to be flowing in the Spirit of God. We're going to be flowing in the things of God. In fact, we are going to be flowing and walking in the miraculous. We're going to be walking in favor. We're going to be walking in power. Hallelujah. And then yesterday we talked about the power of attorney. You know, how that, you know, Christ said that, well, all that my Father has is mine. And everything in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. All power, he said. And we saw it too, how that in the book of Revelation, nobody else had the privilege. Nobody else was found in Revelation 5 to take that book, which was a title deed to everything. Couldn't do it. But it was the Lamb of God, which at first John began to look for the lion of the tribe of Judah. But when he looked, it was actually a lamb, a bloody lamb that he saw. So we'll talk about that a little bit today and how Jesus said, look, ought not the Christ, you know, to have entered into his glory through these sufferings? And so let's see how Christ did it, because Jesus was showing us the acts of the Father. He said, I can do nothing except the Father. He said, the Son can do nothing. Although I want to concentrate on that for just a minute. The Son can do nothing except what the Father shows him. You know, we need to get into this kind of relationship with the Lord. What the Father was to Christ in his earthly ministry is what the Holy Spirit is to us now. So just like Christ would do nothing except the Father showed him, just like Christ would say nothing different than what the Father was saying, that same way we must do nothing except what the Holy Spirit is showing, and we must say nothing other than what the Holy Spirit is saying. And Jesus, when he promised them the Holy Spirit to come, he said to them, in John chapter 16 and verse 13, but he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall guide you and lead you into all truth. Remember, Jesus already prior to that told them that ye shall know the truth in John chapter 8, and the truth shall make you free. And we said before that it is the truth that you know that can make you free. Truth by itself cannot make anybody free. Therefore, you know, one of the most critical roles of the Holy Spirit when he comes, and I call him the governor. When he comes, according to John 16 and 13, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Just like Christ did not speak of himself, neither will the Holy Spirit speak of himself, but what he shall hear from the Father, that's right, you know, that he shall speak through you, and he will show you things to come. Hallelujah. And these things to come are miracles, walking in favor, great things that the Lord will be doing for you. You will see it ahead of time. This is why Jesus's, you know, ministry of miracles and power and signs and wonders was 100% successful all the time. Because first, the Father showed it to him, and then he just did it. You know, he didn't go out on a limb trying to do anything, which, you know, the Father didn't do. But the Father showed it to him, and then he did it. Let's see how Jesus represented. John chapter 5 and verse 19. And there are many verses in the next few minutes that I want to share with us on, you know, how to fully be infused into the Father. Here's how Jesus put it. John 5 and 19, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son," which I know he was talking about himself, but it's also talking about you. "Are you a son of God?" You know, now son here is genderless. It's, which actually means the offspring. So don't worry about whether you're a woman or man here. You know, it's the same thing. It's an offspring. Now, the Son can do nothing of himself. For what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he, that's the Father, doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now that's a very important principle. But we're talking about the acts of the Father through his sons. So this principle is being taught here by Jesus. He's trying to train the disciples to see that he, Christ, could not do anything except what the Father did. He could not say anything except what the Father said. You know, and he said, "For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him." See, pay attention, please, ladies and gentlemen. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself, the Father, doeth. Okay? He showed it to the Son. And when the Son sees what the Father is doing, then he does exactly the same thing. "And the Father will show him greater works than this, so that you may marvel." Well, they marveled then, but we don't need to marvel anymore. It's coming to be the new normal, because the same Spirit that dwelt in Christ, you say, if the Spirit of God that dwelt in Christ, that raised him from the dead, dwell in us as well, well, he'll do the same thing for us, quicken our mortal bodies. Now, there was a difference between Christ and us initially, but we need to close the gap. The work of the Holy Spirit is to close that gap. What was the difference? Well, in John chapter 3 and verse 34, we're told that the Spirit of God was upon Christ without measure. Without measure. My goodness. I mean, it says, "For he whom God has sent," that's Christ, "speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." Well, that was how God sent Christ. And we read that yesterday. Acts chapter 10 and 38. How God sent Christ with the Holy Ghost and power. Now, we also read how Christ himself turned around and sent us. "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." We covered that yesterday in John 17 and 18 in his prayer, and also John 20 and 21 that he said to the disciples. Now, for the Father, John chapter 3 and verse 35, loveth the Son and has given all things into his hands. We covered that yesterday. Now, but Jesus, on the other hand, he also turned around and gave us everything. He said, look, you know, as the Father has life in himself and has given power to the Son to give life to whomsoever shall come to the Son, and giving him this commandment, he said, look, I give power and life to you. I confer upon you this kingdom. Luke chapter 22 and verse 29. My Father gave it to me, and I give it to you. It's that simple. Now, but how did he operate in that realm? Now, this is what we want to cover today. How did he operate so that we can understand the acts of the Father through some, everything that Christ did? It was really the Father. You know, he said, look, when Philip asked him a question in John chapter 14, he said, look, all these things about you, the Father, and all this, I go to heaven. I mean, I go to build a place for you, this and that. Just show us the Father already. Enough of this mystery. And Jesus said, wow, I have been with you all this time, and yet you don't know me. And why are you asking me to show you the Father? Believest thou not? This is John chapter 14, verses 8 to 10. And Jesus was asked by Philip to show them the Father. Have I been so long time with you, and yet you don't know me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest you, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, notice, this is the lesson today. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He is the one doing the works. Now, people didn't know that. That it was the everything that Jesus did, it was the Father that dwelt in him that did the works. That's our lesson today. The acts of the Father through the Son. That's our lesson today. And Jesus is explaining here. Everything that I say, everything that I do, it is the Father that is in me that's doing the works. Now, so when he was leaving, he said, look, except I leave, the Holy Spirit cannot come. It is expedient for me that I, for you, that I go away. Because as long as I'm here, the Holy Spirit can't come. Because why? He had the Spirit of God not by measure. During that time, he had a 100%, the fullness of the Godhead, according to Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, that's how it was. He got 100%. You know, there was nothing else to shed forth to anybody else at the time. You know, so he had to go and then shed this forth that we may receive. And you see, when the Holy Spirit came, it split. You know, it's like tongues of fire split. We, at that time, they didn't quite get not 100%. Fullness, just like Christ, and then nobody else would have it. The Holy Spirit now, remember, the Holy Spirit is infinite. You can't number the Holy Spirit like you number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You can't do that. So the Holy Spirit now, in God's mind, he would now split. A sort of cloven tongues of fire, he came and he split. And he sat upon each of them and anointed them to do the same works, you know, that Jesus did. Hallelujah. You know, so now here's where we are. We now have the Holy Spirit with us as the governor to show us all things, lead us into what the Father is saying, show us what the Father is doing, so that we also might do the same. Hallelujah. You know, so look, this is the goal. It was the goal from the beginning. You know, that's what God wanted. Let us make man in our image. Christ was the one that was in his image, according to Hebrews 1:3. You know, who being, you know, the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. You know, Christ was that. So God said to him, let's make man like our image. And after our likeness, let them come into our character. And then they shall have dominion. Well, listen to this. In Colossians chapter 1, talking about the Christ. When we understand what Christ is, you know, I don't want to say was, because he abided forever. You know, so when you understand what Christ is, then we understand what we are in him. For 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, this is the lesson we are teaching. You know, it's different. People don't actually believe or understand that we can be like that, but we must be like that. So that's the goal, you know, that God revealed from the beginning. He also confirmed it in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. He preordained us, our predestination. Predestination means something that was predetermined ahead of time, that that's where you are going to get to. Destination is the target of a journey. The pre part of it is predetermined. So, predestination, some people think that the predestination is that this person will be saved, that person will be unsaved. No. The predestination is described in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. To do what? That they will be conformed to the image of the Christ. That's the predestination, folks. It was already predetermined by the determinate counsel of God before the world began, before the sons of God came, that when they do come, they will be like the Christ. That's it. Now, if we are not like the Christ, then the Holy Spirit's role now is to bring us into that resemblance of the Christ in all things. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, verses 1 and 2. What manner of love, he says, that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Huh? What manner of love? Are you called a son of God? Well, listen to what he says about you. What manner of love the Father, the emphasis is on the Father, has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. That's why the world doesn't know us. Because the world knew him not either. Now, he says, beloved, now, not tomorrow, not in the future, we already are the sons of God. However, it doesn't quite appear yet. We are not quite like what we should be. We are already there, but we are not quite. It's like a child that's born, you know, but it's not grown yet. It's already a child nonetheless, you know. When a son is born into the family, he's already the son. If he was the son of a king, then he's already the prince. But he doesn't know it yet because he's just a baby, you know. And so he doesn't know anything about it, and he has to be trained. And so Galatians chapter 4, the whole chapter is what it's talking about. When he's born like that, it's a baby, doesn't understand anything. And he has to be trained, tutors, instructors, martial artists, various things to train him how to fight, how to defend, lawyers and counselors to train him how to understand the constitution of the kingdom, and to train him to understand their allies and their adversaries. You have to train him to understand all these things. And then, you know, by and large, you know, someday he will figure it out. But he goes through a lot before he can figure it out. Now, in the book of Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19, describing how Christ came and what the Father endowed him with. And this is what we must have. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We must have the same portion of the anointing that was upon the Christ. We must do that. Praise the Lord. Because let's read it in Colossians chapter 1. This is how Christ came. He said, he describes him here. He says, Christ is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. And also he's the firstborn among many brethren. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, both visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, or whatever. They were all created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence, be number one. For he pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, that was Christ. Well, he gave us power of attorney for the same. We explained that yesterday. Let's see some of the other ways that Jesus represented. Back to John chapter 5. We looked at verse 19. Let's look at verse 30 as well. And then I'm going to quickly give us a few other scriptures of how Christ represented the Father. John chapter 5 and verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. Jesus was always acknowledging the Father. Always acknowledging the Father. He never claimed any credit on his own. Well, that's quite unlike what we do today. Everyone is a showman. There's all kinds of showmanship and one-upish. You know, somebody does something and that person tries to one-up them and everything. And we're just trying to show, you know, things. Jesus never showed anything. In fact, they would ask him, show us a sign. And he would decline. And the reason Jesus declined was, look, when somebody tells you to do something and you do it, then you become their servant. But that's what the Bible says, you know. You become the servant of whosoever you obey. And Jesus was not going to be servant of man. He would only serve the Father. So when the Father tell him something, he would do it. And somebody else tell him, show us a sign, he would not do it. Yet, after that, he would do a lot of miracles and various things, whichever the Father showed him. You know, and if the Father told him, it's not yet time for you to go up then to such a place, then he would not. Then when the Father tell him, go up, then he would go. It's as simple as that, you know. And for one time, Jesus was going to heal a blind man. And the Father said to him, don't do it here. Take him outside the city and do it there. And Jesus asked no questions. He took him outside the city and did it there. And you say, why? He could have just healed the man right there. Well, that's what the Father showed him. And so that's how he did it. You know, so on and on like that. Now, let's look at John chapter 6 and verse 38 to see how Jesus was representing. And this is what we are covering today. This is the basic lesson today for us to see how Jesus represented the Father. And he said, the works that I do, it's the Father in me that's doing it. So we also will see how the Lord will do it through us. The Holy Spirit now doing it through us. The Holy Spirit is representing the Father in us like the Father was in Christ. Now, John chapter 6 and verse 38 says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of the Father that sent me, that of all which he had given me, I should lose nothing. Now, that is so powerful and so reassuring. But I should raise it up again at the last day. He also said, furthermore, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up again at the last day. So powerful assurances from the Christ. Now let's look at, you know, John chapter 7, verses 16 to 18, and also verses 28 to 29. You know, John chapter 7, I pick it up at verse 16. Now, this is Jesus talking to the Jews and everything. He said, look, my doctrine is not mine, John chapter 7, verse 16, but his that sent me. Again, he's always referring to someone that sent him, that's the Father. Now, if any man will do his will, that's the Father's will, then he shall know of the doctrine, whether I be of God or whether I'm speaking of myself. Jesus never spoke of himself. Now, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. Don't we see that too often today? You know, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Hallelujah. Now, these are the things that Jesus, you know, began, you know, to speak. Now, verse 28, he said, while he was teaching them in the temple, he said, ye both know me, and ye know where I came from, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. See how over and over and over again, he acknowledges was so so powerful. He didn't have to do just let the Father do. One chapter of 49 and 50. It will reveal to us, you know, another aspect of how Jesus is saying the same thing. John chapter 12, you know, verse 49. He said, look, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say, what I should speak, about what I should do. You know, and I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Wherefore, I speak therefore, even as the Father has sent unto me, said unto me, so I speak. Now, this is the principle behind how we should now operate in the new normal. For us to be in this new normal, we have to learn this. It's absolutely the Holy Ghost. Irrevocably, we must turn it over to him. We speak what he speaks. We do what he does. If he says, don't go, you don't go. You know, I mean, the Lord may have given a blanket commandment and say, go ye and preach all the gospel to everybody and so forth. But sometimes he'll tell you, you know, don't go to Asia. Don't go over here. Don't go over there. You know, he may tell you that, you know, because he's the governor, he's the director, and we have to follow him. Now, if we follow him and we only do what he already showed us or told us, then we'll have 100% result all the time. If we step out on a limb and try to do things ourselves, well, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. But if it is what he is already doing in the spirit and showing it to us, according to John chapter 16 and verse 13, then it'll work 100% of the time. So that's our lesson today. The Father walking through the sons. Jesus showing us the example. Remember, all the things that Jesus was doing was showing us an example. Even his very life was an example. How he was born as a baby was an example. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, prophesied this thing. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. So right there in that short sentence, we see there is a gap between when the child is born and when the son is given or presented. When you give something, you present. So from the time he was born until the time he was presented, it was actually 30 years, you know, in his own particular case. You know, that was something we saw of him when he was 12 years old, but after that, nothing. And it was 30 years in preparation, you know? And then finally, when he was ready, see, in the eternal spirit, he was ready. But as a man, he was not ready. And God had to show him, God had to teach him, you know, and he had to learn, you know, obedience and everything. But he was already in his mind, in his spirit, 100% submissive to the Father. But he had to grow up. He had to learn these things. And he had to show us how it is done. And it took him 30 years, folks. And of course, to be a rabbi in Israel, you have to be 30 years old. So, you know, to gain their respect. So he had to do all of that. And finally, one day, being baptized of John the Baptist, now that Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, we're told. So now, it's a man. He come out. And the Father would now present him. This is my beloved son. So now, from childhood to his presentation was 30 years, folks. And we don't know all the things that he did during that time. They're not revealed to us. One thing we do know was that, you know, he didn't come with guns blazing. He came from heaven to earth. We know. He said, I come from my Father. I came in my Father's name. But did not come as a gun. Adam came as a baby. Say, had to be protected. That was everything because of what the wise man came and said. And God had to protect the little baby by showing a dream and speaking to the and the and say, I want to destroy that for. And so God had to be. He had to grow. And Galatians chapter 4 telling us that when you are a baby, you are growing, even though you are possessor of everything in the house and in the kingdom, you have to be under instructors and tutors and so on. And so, but now it's time for us to unveil these things. For years, we've been kind of like in the dark ages, you know, because these things are in the Bible, but we have not been well taught of these things. Well, maybe it wasn't time. But now God said, it is time. See, that's the beauty of how God works. Everything starts from an unction from God. Everything. Even when you think that you're having faith, I'm believing God for something. It comes from God. According to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It is God that works in us. Both to will and to perform of his good pleasure. So when God says it is time. That's what he said. When he says it is time. And then he makes the people to understand the times. Then he makes the hunger to come into the heart of the people. Then he makes the people to begin to pray. Then he raises up teaching priests and they begin to teach. And he begin to expand the word of God. And the Holy Spirit begin to build up the people because God said it was time. It all starts with God. So God has now said, it is time. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time. The hour is coming, Jesus said, and now is. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the hour is now. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 17. Although, unfortunately, we lost track of it for many, many hundreds of years until now. But Jesus said, the first thing he said in his prayer in John 17 is, Father, the hour has come. Hallelujah. So, ladies and gentlemen, the hour has come. For the Father, once again, to show forth his mighty acts through the sons of God. Not the one son of God. He's done his part. He's gone. But he sent forth his Holy Spirit to us to prepare us and build us into sons of God. And then each one of us, you know, as a son of God, coming into his fullness. My goodness. According to Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 13, when each of us come into the fullness, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, we become a full-grown son of God, individually, upon one stone, will be 7 eyes. And then when they all come together, collectively, they are called the bride. Individually, they are called sons of God. Hallelujah. So, as a son of God, we need to see how Jesus did it. Because the Father is going to be doing it through us again. So, ladies and gentlemen, don't try to do anything. You know, even though Jesus really looked like we are the one doing it, you know, but it is really He through us doing it. Jesus said, look, if you believe, you can go out, you can heal the sick, you can do all these things and so forth. But the real revelation is you can become a conduit for the Holy Spirit to walk through you. Because Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You can't do it. You know, so when we get it into our heads that, look, I can do these things. You know, I can go there, I can heal the sick, I can raise the... Yeah, you can. Absolutely. But it is really the Holy Spirit, which is the Father, that is doing it through you. So that's our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen. We are now at the finish line. Hallelujah. Now we have now come, you know, it's been many years that the church has been growing, the growing pains and everything. And even you in your own individual life, how long has it been? You know, I mean, but here's the thing though. The children of Israel, they spent many years in the wilderness and they still did not make it. That's a very sad story. And many of them died in the wilderness. In fact, most of them did, except a couple, you know, they died. Even Aaron couldn't get in. Neither did Moses. But Joshua and Caleb and a new generation got in. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are not going to die in this wilderness. Oh, no. We've been going around in circles for a long time, but there's enough of that already. You know, there's a mighty angel that now steps forth. He puts his left foot upon the sea, his right foot upon the land. He raises his hand to heaven and swears that no more delay. Time no longer. Enough of that already. Glory to God. Now is the hour. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son. Well, let me pray that prayer over this room today, like Jesus prayed it, but I will change it a little bit. Instead of singular son, I'm going to pray that prayer with plural sons. It's the same prayer. Jesus said, you know, they said, teach us to pray. And he taught them how to pray. Well, this is the prayer that I want to pray here in John 17 today. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy sons, that thy sons may also glorify thee. Even as thou hast committed all things into our hands, by thy first son, thy said unto us, that I confer unto you a kingdom, even as my Father conferred to me. Hallelujah. That we may be a witness to the power of his resurrection. And this is that power of his resurrection, that as many as we hear our words and believe on him of whom we witness, that they may receive eternal life. And Jesus said, I have glorified thee upon the earth. Now, Father, it is time for us to glorify you upon the earth. The sons of God now emerging, the whole creation having been waiting for it, it is time. Jesus said, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Well, we are about to step into that work that Jesus left for us to do. He left us something because he said, I go to my Father and now you can do the same works and you can do more because you have more time. My time was limited, but you have more time. Hallelujah. And you are more in number. So we can do more. Now, Lord, you know, this world needs to know your name. You know, Jesus said, glorify thou me with the own self, the glory which I have from the world began. I thank you, Father, because you told the disciples our names were written in heaven before the world began. And that's where we should rejoice. That's the cause of our joy should be. Now, show us, O Lord, how to manifest your name to this world. Because we know that your name is your reputation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And we can go on and pray everything that the Lord prayed in this prayer. And turn it a little bit around to pray for ourselves. And Jesus said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for these ones whom you have given me. You know, and for all those who hear about me through their word. So down through the ages, he has already prayed for us. Now teach us also not to pray for the world, but to pray for those whom you have appointed to eternal life, who are still in the valley of the shadow of death, that must come out and receive the light. As it is written, those that sit in darkness have seen a great light. And may the Lord grant us an opportunity to be the conduit of light to many, you know, that through the works of the Father in us, many shall come to the light. For has he not said, let your light so shine that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father that is in heaven. Hallelujah. Now, the Lord said, and he prayed for us, he said, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. So, Lord, teach us to understand that we are not of this world. Made in heaven and assembled upon the earth to show a powerful demonstration of the kingdom right here on earth. I thank you, Lord, for the word of God that sanctifies us. God sent Jesus into this world, and Jesus turned around and sent us. He said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them. Hallelujah. Now, O Lord, even as the Son of God prayed for oneness, may we also recognize that oneness even now in the name of Jesus. You in us, the Holy Spirit, and we together in Christ, allowing the Father to walk through us as his sons, demonstrating to this world, you know, the love and the power of God. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. He said, oh, righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And even these ones, you know, have known that you sent me. Therefore have I declared to them thy name, and I will declare it again. And he's declaring again now that the name of the Father is his reputation. And now, Lord, we thank you for the love that you love the Son of God with. This same love now being shed abroad in our hearts. This love now propelling us to represent just like Christ represented. Father, we give you the praise and we give you the glory. Deep subject, but the Holy Spirit here to break it down for us. May the Lord enlighten our hearts to understand our role as sons of God in allowing the Father full access to walk through us. In the volume of the book that has been written of us, that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of his sons of God. Now, therefore, O Lord, we come to do thy will, O God. And because we believe, therefore we speak. That now, Father, the hour is here. Glorify thou thyself in the sons of God, that we may also glorify you in the world, that the world may know what you have ordained for us in the kingdom. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.